Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, it's Metal Shop here on The Rock. Right now I'm talking with Joel Grind from Toxic Holocaust, kind of the main dude behind that band. It's kind of, from what I understand, like his brainchild. Toxic Holocaust kind of started from like a one-man project, and now it's evolved into this like badass touring machine. Well, maybe not at the time, but if all things were possible, it'd be a touring machine. You guys put out Primal Future 2019 last year, but played the hell out of it. Made the top 30 list of best albums of 2019. But before we go any further, how are you doing, Joel? How are you staying safe? How are you staying sane? And yeah, is stay sane is the most important, I think.
Yeah, it's tricky, you know. Basically, I'm doing good. The way I'm just keeping busy is I'm just working on new songs, like writing new music, yeah. And keeping the wheels turning, like creatively, and like just making sure like everything's just trying to keep everything going here without being able to hit the road and all that stuff. So
if we were in a non-COVID world, right? So if we were in a regular time frame, where would you guys be right now?
We didn't have a tour planned right now.
Okay.
But so our next plan was we were going to be touring in like mid to late July into August for Europe.
Yeah.
But we've already heard the word that those plans have been canceled. Like they pulled the plug on all the festivals and stuff in Europe. So mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not going to be happening.
There's a lot of negativity that we could be caught up in at this time, especially right now. If you're having a crappy day or if you're like bummed out, get a lot of negative energy going, what's an album that has always been something that you can go to that can like recenter you, give you some strength?
I would probably say like something by AC/DC. Like
nice.
That always seems to get me pumped up, you know, and puts me in a good mood. Stuff like that is like, you know, it's just like party time music, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean, I think a lot of people kind of feel the same way with me about that. Like it's just, it puts you in a good mood, and it's just, you know, catchy songs and you can sing along and stuff. So I'd probably say like Power Age or something like that, or maybe even Back in Black. But
yeah
just very puts you in a good mood.
Nice, dude. Well, your guys' album last year, badass record, Primal Future 2019, definitely pick it up if you haven't listened to it yet. You guys went with E1 on this one, and E1 is a pretty cool label, but from my view, they handle all kinds of different artists, hip-hop artists, metal artists, rock artists. What was the idea about signing with E1?
I just, you know, I love Relapse. I love the people that work at Relapse.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a slightly different approach, and I just wanted to see how it would work, you know. I did three records with Relapse.
Yeah.
I did some reissues with Relapse, so I figured, you know, why not try something else? And you know if that doesn't work out, then you know we'll see. But right now it's, you know, they're doing a great job, and it feels good to be there. You know, they're putting a lot of effort behind the record. They're getting it in the stores. They're getting it, you know.
Exactly. And it seems like a label that has a lot of, gives artists a lot of freedom, and maybe not, doesn't like push them to do one specific thing or the other. And also, has a badass distribution method.
Yeah, that was very important to me. I wanted to make sure, especially in Europe, that, you know, the fans over there could get the records and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And that was something that I felt like I think we do better in Europe than we do in the States anyway, like for, you know, attendance wise for shows yeah. and things like that. So I wanted to make sure that the fans could really get the records without having to pay like import costs and stuff like that. So once I found out that E1 was distributed through SPV, which is like they kill it in Europe. So,
yeah.
That was, you know, that's kind of what sealed the deal, but you know, they give me total, creative control and they're very supportive of my ideas and stuff. So right now I have nothing but good things to say.
Nice, dude. Well, so you guys are, and I'm not trying to label you guys or something, but I think you'd be pretty safe to say you guys are a thrash band. How do you play thrash but continue to make things creative and new and interesting and without seeming like an homage to a classic sound? How do you guys keep it fresh?
I think, you know, I think it stems like from any band that does something that isn't maybe, you know, cookie cutter or a clone of other things. I think you have to, it stems from like being just a music fan in general, of yeah. a lot of different styles and a lot of different, you know, genres of metal and just things like that. Like, I think, you know, you kind of take all your influences and kind of put them in a blender and then you kind of come out with something original. Like, nothing yeah. is 100% original. You know what I mean? Like, sure. there is no art that is not referencing something. But the way I think you do that is you filter through your own sensibilities and you do it through, you know, you don't basically just try to copy one thing. Like yeah. we're not trying to be Exodus Part 2 or something like that. You know, I love Exodus, but I'm using that as an influence, but it's not like here's a clone of Exodus, you know, which I've seen mm-hmm. in the past. There's bands that are legitimately just like cloning other bands, you know,
yeah.
and that to me, it's just boring. And it's kind of just, you know, I prefer it, you know, for Toxic to be, you know, put all my influences in a blender. You know, I'd like to, you know, just attribute all the things that I like and try to put my own voice to it, you know, my own sensibilities of writing and stuff to it. So nice. I think that's kind of how I keep it fresh, and as opposed to just being like, you know, the quote unquote thrash band that it's only like thrash, you know, it's like, yeah. there's definitely elements of like rock and roll and other stuff in there too.
Oh, totally. You guys, so you mentioned that one of the way you're staying busy is writing music and doing that. What's your process for like writing a riff? Like, do you ever just like sit down and decide like, I want to try and write, or does it come to you and you got to like, jot it down or record it, on the go?
It's weird. Creative stuff is such a weird thing. It's hard to put into words sometimes mm-hmm. because sometimes you'll wake up, you know, in the morning and all of a sudden you'll have almost like an entire song in your head, like
yeah.
that you've thought of and you're like, where did that come from? You know, like, how did mm-hmm. that happen? And other times you really struggle at even just writing the second riff of a song. You know, you get the first one down, then you're like, where can it go from here? You know? So it's funny how sometimes it can be that, you know, elusive to like track down like the inspiration. But, my process is usually I just pick up a guitar and play, and I kind of do it where I don't put too much pressure on myself to I feel like if you put too much pressure on yourself, like I need to write a song or this or that, sometimes it could be a little forced, when as opposed to like if you're just having fun, sometimes the creative stuff just pops in because you're just being open to ideas and stuff like that, if that makes sense. I don't know
yeah.
if that's a good explanation of it, but yeah, I feel like that's usually the best way that I write, is I just pick up a guitar and just start riffing. And sometimes you'll hear a couple notes put together and you're like, yeah, you know, that sounds cool. Maybe I can do something like this. And
yeah.
then it just builds from there. And what I do is I build a riff bank. I just record a bunch of stuff.
Nice.
That I listen to it at a later time, and I feel like doing it that way, I can come back to it later with a different perspective.
Yeah.
As opposed to like sometimes you can really like a riff at the time that you write, and then you put a lot of work into it, and you're like, then you listen later, like, this actually wasn't that good to begin with.
Yeah,
you wasted a lot of time. So I found it, like just having a riff bank and then coming back with fresh ears, listening to a bunch of stuff in a row. And when something pops out, that's the song I start to flesh out and start to work on. So that's kind of how I work with stuff. And
riff bank,
you know, everybody's different. I'm kind of fascinated with the creative process. I like watching, you know, YouTube videos and reading about how people, because everybody kind of does it their own way.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's once you find a way that works for you, you know, you stick to it, and you can really turn over some, you can really write a lot of music that way because you found your way of working that works best for you.
Well, the reason I ask this question is it originally stemmed from when we were talking to Kirk from Crowbar. We asked him, and he told us that he has a rocking chair. He calls his riff chair. And, huh. he always sits in his riff chair, and he just riffs it out, and that's how we create. He has like a little mini amp there, and he just has a riff chair, and he drinks beer and just writes riffs in his riff chair.
That's so funny. My the guitar player that used to play for Toxic, he had a chair that he would bring. I recorded his other band. That's how I met him.
Yeah.
And he would bring that chair from his home to the studio, and that's where he would write or record his riffs.
Yeah.
Because it just felt comfortable to him. Like, that's where he always would do it. So it's like, it's part superstition, I think, and part, like, comfort, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny how that works.
So you guys have a bunch of albums, obviously the one, most recent Primal Future 2019, but out of all your records, if you had to do like a tournament style March Madness kind of thing, what would be the champion Toxic Holocaust riff that you're most proud of?
I would say the riff in the song Silence, the middle break.
Okay.
Like the kind of more rock and roll kind of.
Yeah.
Like that kind of speed metal-y kind of break, I think, is my favorite riff that I've done.
Nice, dude. Okay.
That's always my favorite one to play live for sure, too. Like when that part comes in, like that's usually where the crowd starts to go off, and it's like, it's just a lot of fun to play that part, and I'm pretty proud of that one.
So is that a song that you always make sure to put in your set?
Yeah. It's funny. We used to neglect that song a little bit. And, you know, once we started playing it more, I realized how fun it is. And it's just kind of like, it's cool too, because it's a little bit different tempo. So mm-hmm. It kind of gives me a break vocally, like, or it's not just hammering down on the vocals. All
yeah.
Time. So it's a lot of just rocking out, which is, it's nice to break that up once in a while in the set.
Nice, dude. Well, I'm going to get into some music nerd questions. I know, obviously, like, I mean, you can't be a musician and not be kind of your roots being a music nerd. So we all know the quote-unquote big four of thrash, right? So we got Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, and Megadeth. If that was expanded to a big eight, who would be the next four that you would draft?
Ooh, I guess it would have to be all American, right? Because the big four pertains to American bands. So I would say Exodus for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Death Angel maybe, or
nice.
I'm not sure. Dark Angel or Death Angel. I'm not sure which one would fit better in there.
One of the angels.
Kind of the same tier. So it's like, I'm going to go with Death Angel. But then probably Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And
Toxic Holocaust.
Violence, maybe?
Violence, nice. Okay. Maybe Nuclear Assault?
Yeah, that would be up there, too. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's funny because the big four, I think, kind of goes by record
Exodus?
Sales. Exodus, for sure, yeah.
There's a lot of them.
You know, it's funny, it goes by record sales. So for
me,
like, I would say Exodus, you know, like,
yeah.
And Testament.
Nice.
But for personal taste, definitely Nuclear Assault would be up there. Exodus for sure. Testament and probably Death Angel would be in there. So
nice, dude. Well, okay, so let's go back to day one as far as your musical journey goes. And even if it's embarrassing or nerdy or like something that you don't even want to acknowledge, I want to know the truth. What was the first CD, tape, whatever, first actual album that you purchased with your own money, like your own, lawn mowing money or something?
So with my first money ever, believe it or not, was Megadeth Rust in Peace.
Oh, my God. The journey starts.
But the thing
you
is,
you can't go wrong with that album.
That is my first record I ever got was from my mom. She gave me the first Guns N' Roses tape.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Because you got to understand, my mom was into like hard rock and
that's
stuff
awesome.
Like that. So my
mom rocker
took me to see Metallica and Guns N' Roses and Faith No More in '92.
That's badass.
I was 11, so which is pretty awesome. But it's like that. So that's kind of I was already initiated into this kind
yeah,
of stuff
yeah.
in a weird way. So when I had my own money, I was like, I got to get Rust in Peace because I never, you know, I was like, I just saw the cover and I was like, I have to know what this is. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I never heard it before. And I was like, I have to know what this is, you know, and life changing, you know, it's like,
absolutely.
I was like 10 years old or something. So,
dude, that's a classic record. I think kind of the pinnacle, I would say for that. And then it was just like, it was just, everything was just, man, that's just like, that's a desert island record.
Absolutely. That's a record that even if that wasn't my first record, you know what I mean? That would still be top five, you know,
for me,
because you know, like some records you can like a lot, but it's because of the time and the place when you got into them, you kind of have sentimental things tied to it too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That record just stands alone just because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the sentimental aspect for me.
And just like, that was the perfect lineup for Megadeth. Like that was just dude, like it's amazing. So we could go off
There's
on
not a bad song on that record. It's awesome.
So you guys have, I've seen a wrestling t-shirt you guys had with the Ultimate Warrior on it. I'm a big wrestling mark. I'm a huge wrestling nerd. I don't know how deep you go with wrestling, but I gotta know, if you were magically transported into WrestleMania and you had to choose a theme song, Joel, what would be your theme song to get you pumped to go to the ring?
Dude, Ultimate Warrior theme song. It's a metal
dun,
song.
Dun, dun. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just a metal song. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, and then you would be shaking the ropes with the paint on your face.
Yeah. Like, flying high on roids and whatever else.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Why not?
Going crazy.
Okay, well,
gassing out before you even wrestle.
Oh, my God. So similar question, but different vibe. If we were to get you really hammered and we were at a karaoke bar, what would be your go-to to sing if you had to sing one song?
I would probably do Balls of the Wall by Accept.
Okay. Hell yeah, dude.
I've done that before, and that was pretty fun.
Nice, dude. All right, man, just a couple more questions, but this one's a little bit left field. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it, Joel.
Scar on my body. I have one on my hand, like on my right, on my knuckle, like mm-hmm. on my, basically behind my pointer finger.
Yeah.
On my right hand that I closed in a fucking garage door, and that really sucked. It was like a sharp edge on a metal garage door, like at this storage locker place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, that was like years and years ago, and it like still you can, especially if like you get any like sun or anything like that, you can like really see it pop out.
Oh my God.
Kind of nasty.
Brutal. Luckily it didn't do any nerve damage or anything, right?
No. Luckily it was like behind the knuckle a little bit, like where it wasn't like on the other side of your hand. That would be bad.
Right. Right on, man. Well, obviously there's no like, goal or sorry, there is goals, but there's no like end, for this as far as who knows when things will get back to a quote unquote semblance of normalcy. But if that all, came down and you know, we were able to get back to go into at least a modicum of normalcy, what are some of your goals and, some of your plans for Toxic Holocaust here in the near future?
Just a lot more touring. I plan on doing an EP this year also.
Cool.
So like maybe like a, you know, 2-song 12-inch or something like that. And, you know, it would be really cool to hit the road and maybe promote that too. But also just to, you know, I don't like having like obligations that, you know, get canceled, like where we were planning on going to Europe and then that's not like on the table anymore. And that's kind of a bummer, you know, like I hate when that kind of stuff happens. So that would be my priority, is to just get out there and start touring again. And obviously, and to release this EP, you know, and just, you know, but you gotta take it a little bit at a time, make sure everybody's staying safe and all that. So
you gotta kind of just take it as it goes and whatnot. So,
yeah, it's out of our hands.
Do you have any words for the Northwest audience who might be listening and going a little stir crazy?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, just basically, stay safe and just don't worry about things too much. Hopefully,
be easy on yourself.
Still put some food on the table, stuff like that. But, you know, don't let it stress you out too much where, you know, I feel like this stuff will probably end. Yeah. Hopefully soon enough to where we can go back to some sort of normal life and, you know, just keep listening to the records you love. And, you know, that stuff usually gets people through.
Dude, hell yeah. And listen to Primal Future 2019. Toxic Holocaust could use the support. And, you know, all underground metal bands could as well. Joel, thank you so much for your time, man.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.